Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so at the first portion of this final chapter, we have the instruction to those concerning those who are overtaken in a fault. The word for overtaken here is an interesting word, and it's only used two other times in the New Testament. I think overtaken, as I have been able to spend some time with this word and to study it, I think overtaken is a good translation of it. It means, literally, it means to be taken before. Prolambano. To be taken ahead of time, or to have something so fully overtake you that it catches you ahead of your readiness. So, overtaken. I can see how overtaken could be a good translation of that. It is also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, interestingly, about the abuses of the Lord's Supper by the Corinthian church, where some of them are taking before others, not waiting upon one another, in other words. So, obviously, it's a word that has a fairly wide semantic range. But I think overtaken is a good translation here. I think the King James translators have caught the essence of what Paul is saying here. So to be overtaken in a fault, then, what we want to understand about that is that it's not simply having a sin that we've committed and that we're dealing with, confessing and forsaking. It's something where we're found to be flat-footed against it. We're found, it's almost like a besetting sin, but it may also have the element, because it's prolambano, it may also have the element of surprise. In other words, one day we realize I've been doing this thing for so long and I realize how wicked it is and I hadn't seen that before. And so there is that natural heart that would rise up of, you know, for the Christian when he finds that for so long he's been so wrong about so much. And so there is something that takes place where this man needs not only help confessing and forsaking, but he needs restoration. Restoration. And so some have been induced to say, because of the word restoration here, restore such an one, that there has been some discipline involved. And it may be that. Prolambano may at that point mean that he has been taken before the judges and been found guilty. And so it may go that far as well. It's hard to be really secure in what Paul is saying. So it's either some sin that has beset him for so long, and it's kind of jumped up into full notice now, and so he is justifiably despairing because of it, or it's that he's already been brought before the judges, and he has been condemned for it. But notice that they which are spiritual are supposed to restore such a one. Now, the reason I brought up these two different circumstances, two different potential interpretations of prolambano, is because it affects who the spiritual ones are. If it is excommunication, then ye which are spiritual refers to that church office that we saw, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. However, if it is simply that this man is just shot through, brought to his knees, his hands are hanging down, his knees are rendered feeble because of his sins, then it could be anyone in the congregation. I'll tell you, my own tendency is to go toward the latter. That's my tendency in this passage. So it's not talking particularly about excommunication and church office. Rather, what it's talking about is a man who realizes how fully and pervasively he's been sinning for so long, and because of that, he is so extremely disappointed in himself that he has, you can see it in his body language, you can see it in his face, and he is just shot through because of it. And Paul says, ye which are spiritual, and the spiritual here, I think, must correspond to the rest of the book of Galatians, where we're talking about those who are indwelt and led by the Spirit of God. Those folks who are who have the spiritual capacity to meet this man in his spiritual need. Like what Paul says in Romans 16, that ye are competent to counsel one another. This is what I think he's talking about. And so they are to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness. In other words, they are to treat gently with him. Now, this is not talking about the proud Pharisee that has dug himself in and continues to hold fast to his integrity, even though it's non-existent. This is talking about a man that has met fully the force of his sins, understands the condemnation of the law, and he has come under self-condemnation because of it. And so he is to be handled gently. Gently. So we gently bring someone like that in a spirit of meekness, and then also looking to ourselves, lest we also be tempted. We're all liable to that kind of difficulty. That's what Paul says here. And so then he says, and this is why I think it's wider, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a very interesting passage, because when you think of it, just two verses later, Paul says each man's going to bear his own burden. So here he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as what? What does Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you, right? The law of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. And so that's that tall order that's been given there. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. All right, so now we have the guy that has dug in. Verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man must bear his own burden. So from a different perspective, then, every man's going to bear his own burden. In other words, if you are lost in some sin, if you're fallen down in some temptation or difficulty, you cannot say it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. What's the most popular way that we do that today?
He made me mad.
Nope. You made you mad. He just gave you the excuse you were looking for. Right? Isn't that how that works? It's true. Because the Bible tells us what? What is mission possible? This is what we emphasized in Bible story time today. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Mission possible. Right? So every man is going to bear his own burden then. You can't say, Satan made me do it. You can't say it was my upbringing. You know, my daddy didn't love me enough. That's true, by the way. Your daddy didn't love you enough. Okay, can we move on now? That's true for all of us. We may have had great fathers, but none of us had a perfect father. So let's remember then that we're all, in that sense, from that perspective, we are all going to bear our own burden. So there's no contradiction between 2 and 5. It's simply two different perspectives. All right, then in verse 6, we hear about making sure that the ministers of the gospel are that they are able to live by the gospel so that they might devote themselves to prayer and to the study of the word of God. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So notice here that the primary emphasis is on those teaching elders, right? In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says it this way. Let the elders that labor well or rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially them that labor in word and doctrine or word and teaching. Okay? So here, let the one who is taught communicate in all good things to him that teacheth. That's another way of saying in first century parlance, let's make sure that our ministers are paid with a salary. All right, and then following on that, and in keeping with the same context, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so the way we use our money in that sense, as you know, if we follow on there in verse 6, if we're not tithing, if we're not giving, if we're not generous, and so we have great needs that go unmet, let's remember that wherever it is that we're sowing, we can expect to reap from that same garden. Right? And so if you plant basil in your backyard, well, don't expect to get apples. Right? But if you don't plant anything, don't expect to get basil. Or if you plant nightshade, expect to get poison. That's the point the Apostle Paul makes, and it's simply something everyone understands. If we are sowing to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. And if we're sowing to the Spirit, we're going to reap life and peace. That's what Paul says. Now, this speaks to how we handle all the areas of our lives. Our entertainment, our leisure, our work. If we're sowing to the flesh and all of those things, we're going to reap corruption. And if we're sowing to the Spirit, we're going to reap life and peace. That is the general rule that we ought to follow. In verse 9, Paul gives us some great encouragement, and that is, so don't be weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. Don't expect to reap, however, if you faint. And by fainting, what we mean by that is simply running out of steam, getting tired of it. I've put so many good years of my life into this job, this marriage, this church, this whatever, family, whatever. Fill in the blank. And I've never seen any good fruit from it, and so I'm out of here. Okay, well, you'll never get any fruit if you do that. Right? All of that labor is now gone. But Paul says, in due time, that is in God's due time, you shall reap if you faint not. And let me say, not from this passage particularly, but from the rest of Scripture, that even if we never see fruit in this life, there's always fruit. The services that we do to Christ, brothers and sisters, hear me well, because there's a lot of confusion on this topic. Those services that we give in openness and honesty and in freeness to Christ, they are never lost. How does Jesus put it? No one, having given a cup of water in my name, shall lose his reward. But they misused it. They poured the water out on the ground. They wasted it away. That's right. And they'll be brought into judgment for that. But you will not. You will receive for the good that you did with regard to Christ. That's the point that Christ is making. Those rewards are never lost. Services rendered to Christ are never lost. Even if they're misused and trampled upon by others, they're never lost. So in due time we shall reap if we faint not. So then in verse 10, now I want you to think about verse 10 here with me for a moment. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Where's your first loyalty then? Think about that for a moment. I know we hear a lot about ministries and outreach ministries and ministries to the poor and all of that. And listen, all those are biblical, and I agree with all of those. But I believe there's a priority that we must make sure that we keep in line here. Paul says that we are to do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. So let's make sure that we get the priority straight so that we can do all things in their proper order. All right, and then verses 11 through the end, just a couple of things. First of all, there's this large letter comment, and that has to do with authentication. Verses 12 and 13 speaks about the reason why the Galatian doctrine perverters or gospel perverters, the Galatian Judaizers, were there. They were there not for the cause of Christ. They were there simply because they believed in merit religion, and the more people that they could get circumcised, the more merit they had. They were glorying in their in the works that they were doing in others, in other words. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. So that's the difference between Paul and the Judaizers. And then in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. What are the three enemies that we often talk about? The enemies of our soul. Where are they? The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil. We already read in Galatians 5:24 that the flesh is crucified, right? What does he say here in 6:14? The world is also crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Right? And the devil? What about the devil? Well, the devil, he's a defeated foe. Christ has seen him fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, those three enemies that we talk about, they are enemies, and we're right to talk about them as enemies. But they are all defeated enemies. They only have power in that we give them power. They only have authority over us in that we are often deceived into giving them an authority that they don't necessarily have. Let's remember that. Paul says, the world is crucified unto me. Its baubles, its power, its nobility, all of that, that has nothing in me, Paul says. What I'm doing, there is no worldly motivation in that at all. It's only in the cross of Christ. So it's crucified to us. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Why deal with the old sign when you have the present reality? You're a new creature. New creature in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. New desires. New mind. New way of thinking. New loyalty. New faith. All of that. So then, no more circumcision, forward to the new creature. And then in verses 16 and 17, verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God here, remember what we're talking about. Remember the context of Galatians 4. The Israel of God does not mean national Israel. It means the church of God here. Israel here is a special name that Paul uses for the church itself. He's already said that the Jerusalem that now is in bondage with her children. He's certainly not talking about that Israel. The Israel of God here is the church. It must be. And then, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you what he's not talking about here? He's not talking about stigmata. Stigmata is a superstition. And you will often hear Roman Catholic folks and Eastern Orthodox folks turn to Galatians 6:17 and talk about the sign of the nail prints in the hands. That's the Latin for that is stigmata. And that Paul himself had the stigmata. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul says, I want you to judge what I'm telling you throughout this letter that I've written because of the suffering that I've had to bear in order to tell you. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ means I bear in my body the whip marks of the Jews that they sought because I preached Christ. This is not an easy message for me. This is a costly message for me. And so I want you to use that to add authentication to what I've told you. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he means there. And then the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So the book ends. Let's stand.